Iraq has declared victory over ISIS in the battle for control of Mosul, but the fight for the hearts and minds of people there continues. Iraqi counterterrorism forces are combing the city's neighborhoods to try to root out ISIS supporters. Some of them are just teenagers. Journalist Simona Foltin was in Mosul earlier this week. She joins us from nearby Erbil on Skype. Simona, you did a report for French TV, and in it you accompanied these Iraqi troops as they went door to door. They started very early in the morning. What did they do?
So basically the counterterrorism forces, they are looking for sleeper cells in West Mosul. Even though West Mosul has been officially liberated, there are still suspected Islamic State group fighters that have managed to escape from the old city or who've been able to get away, for example, by blending into the population. So they have a list of names, and they're combing through the neighborhoods, going from house to house, asking families if they know anybody, for example, who has worked for ISIS. So it's very much an effort to collaborate with the local community, and the forces are very much reliant on the local community. Without their support and the intelligence that they're getting from them, it's very difficult to do. And, you know, if somebody from within the community says that, let's say my neighbor, for example, you know, he was ISIS, then they have to take that piece of information and verify it.
It sounds like it makes it a rather difficult dynamic from neighbor to neighbor. But what kind of success did they have? You were following them as they knocked door to door. What did you see?
It seemed to me that there was a little bit of nervousness and suspicion on the part of the population, who is, of course, Sunni, and the security forces are mostly Shia. So there is that kind of dynamic going on. There is a perception that security forces are penalizing the entire community simply because they are Sunni. So the first few hours, there were not many leads, but then finally they managed to find a 14-year-old boy who actually admitted that he joined ISIS, and they took him to his family's home and interrogated him, and then he was arrested. And it was a pretty difficult situation because obviously he's underage, he's only 14 years old, and it's a very tricky situation that they have to maneuver because they don't want to alienate the family. They still have to win the hearts and minds of these people to ensure continued support. So basically the commander promised them that they would bring him back if he shared information to find other members of ISIS, more important ones, more senior ones.
Now, this boy, 14 years old, I mean, he looks like a fresh-faced kid, and we know that ISIS recruits young people. What was his role? What had he done as an ISIS supporter?
So that's very interesting because during the interrogation, he tried to downplay his role. He said he was mostly a guard. He didn't really have any important duties. What I was told by the special forces was, in fact, that he had shown up in several propaganda videos for ISIS and that he was very much a core member of the group. So he was handed over to the intelligence services, and he's still in detention right now.
So he pointed to one of his neighbors who he said was also an ISIS supporter. Tell us about that person.
Yeah, so basically we got into the Humvee together with this 14-year-old, and he showed us the way to another person. So it's very much like once you have one person, then you're on the right track, and they reveal the identities of others. So we went to the house of another suspected militant, and he was not as cooperative. He denied that he played any significant role. He said he initially joined, but then defected. So he was also taken in for interrogation, but he was later released because there was no conclusive evidence that he was a core member of the group.
In the big picture, how far do you think these operations, door-to-door operations, are going to make Mosul safer, especially knowing that Mosul needs to be rebuilt? And right now it's a city of 30,000 homes that are destroyed. There's no water, no electricity. What's the future hold?
One of the things that the commander I was with pointed out is that the thing that he fears most is how neighbors will look upon families who've had somebody join ISIS, that they will not respect them anymore, that there could even be reprisals. For example, if somebody was killed by an ISIS member and you know that your neighbor supported them, or perhaps that one of their sons joined. In other cities that have already been liberated, this has proven a challenge. So in some cities, for example, families of ISIS members were not allowed to return, which is, of course, also problematic because then you end up having, you know, certain camps outside cities where you have these families. And of course, this fuels a lot of resentment. And you think about, if, let's say, if you're a young boy of 8 years old, and let's say your family has been confined to a camp and cannot return home, how are you going to grow up? What are you going to think about your government when you're a teenager? And this is just this cycle of violence that just keeps being fueled and fueled. So if that is not addressed properly, then it's very difficult to see how there will be peace in Iraq in the future.
Journalist Simona Foltin speaking with us from Erbil in Iraq. Simona, thank you very much.
Thank you.